All right, praise God. Watch Radio representing East Coast live radio out of New York. This is Watch Radio theme song sent in from Jonathan. So we praise God. He's still mixing that in, so it's going to be even better. I definitely think he's a master mixer. He's doing very well. So we praise God for that Watch Radio theme intro. And how many out there know we are real, legitimate broadcasters? Shouts out to all our listeners over the years, WWCR. So we've been on that frequency a long time. And before that, we were on the 5070, which we got usurped by Russia. But we used to be on that frequency. So just so you know, it's a two-hour broadcast now, which I should be announcing at 11 because a lot of our listeners still think we're on at 11. I've been finding out. And then they're tuning in and they think that the show just started. But it really started an hour prior to that. So we're going to have to get that out around 11. Incidentally, let me just find out what I'm doing here. Okay, you can listen in on your, if your shortwave's waving out, well, that rhymed. If your shortwave's phasing in and out, you know, does that sometimes, certain times of the night, you can listen on your phone. So you can call in. The phone number is 626-657-2127. That's 626-657-2127. There's an option there to speak to either me or the guest, which will be Pat Holliday tonight. And next week we've got Pastor Carl Henderson. He's back from the Philippines. So pretty interesting stuff going on. So tonight, we're going to be patching her in a second. And we're going to touch on a few things, specifically witches embedded in the church. Now, this is something that Russ Dizdar has been preaching about for years. And, you know, I kind of was on the fence about it, so to say. And recently we found a witch. We had 9 confirmations now of this person being an embedded witch. So that needs to be exposed. These people need to go down, folks. And the reality of it is what happened in the Philippines when we were doing on-ground, real mass deliverance crusades, there were embedded witches in the church at that time. And listen, I was like a lot of you out there. I just didn't believe it until it got exposed. Until we found the charms and fetishes and voodoo effigies and all the witchcraft paraphernalia was exposed by God, showed us where it was hidden. They come in with a book bag, highlighter, Bible bag, notebook, and will amen and send in a tithe and smile and dial and then curse you when you're behind your back. So, need to touch on that because these witches, incidentally, witchcraft in Scripture in Hebrew means to whisper. And if you look at hiss in the Old Testament, that means to whisper. And if you analyze the serpent, okay, in Genesis 3, his nature is to witchcraft is a whispering, backbiting, discord, demonic power sent out like a web on the body of Christ to destroy, to divide, to dissipate, and dissolve the formula for the kingdom of heaven. And you might say, well, how can that be? I'll show you in Luke in a minute. The devil's not as stupid as many of you think out there. And I know a lot of people tout, you know, the devil can't harm me, and nothing can happen to me. And oh, yeah. Well, the Apostle Paul was thwarted by Satan. Did you know that? He couldn't get to one location to another, and yet you, so powerful Christians out there, basically not doing anything, maybe hand out a tract here and there, that's just great. But when you're going forward in mass deliverance and healing crusades, and hundreds and thousands of people are being set free, healed, and delivered, demons are blowing out of people, people screaming all over the floor, and there's covens that get alerted to your activities. They get alerted to what you're doing. And they send in covert operations to hinder you, Can they kill you if you have a door open big enough, or if they could figure it out, or wherever it might be? The reality is, if you're walking in the Spirit, they can just hinder you. They can create disturbances. They can sow discord. They can create issues and problems. And if they can't get to you, they get to somebody in your family. How about that? The weaker vessel. They can go across the board in your ministry and create hindrances and problems and sow witchcraft to other ministries to come against you. And this is how witchcraft is mixed into that leavenated bowl. When Jesus talks about that, I'm going to get into that in a minute. But the reality of it is, folks, we need to be aware of this whispering, demonic mouth of Satan demon that is loosed by these embedded witches. And yeah, we had it in the Philippines. And they were exposed in the Philippines. And it wasn't just one, there were many. And when the demons, when they came out, they confessed the name of the witches. So their own servants, these demons, rat on the witches. And yeah, their biggest specialty is sending spirits of sickness and disease. They want to make you sick, like it says in Psalms. The witches use the Bible too. They know the openings and the matter pure, what happened with Balaam when he taught Barak how to curse children of Israel by creating an opening. That's the same concept. They scan for openings. And Pat's going to be going up. You know, I got to patch her in. Hold on. Praise God. Hope that works. Praise God for Skype right now. There it goes.
Hello.
Hey, Pat, Rich, Watch Radio, you're on the air.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I was going.
You're so clear.
You sound clear, too. I was just going off into a rant there, and I remembered I had to patch you in. The reality of it is, I wanted to touch on a little bit, because I know you've got a lot of subjects you can touch on. We've got 2 hours tonight. And
yeah.
These embedded witches that we had in the Philippines, they hated the crusades that were going on over there. And their main goal, and the demon told me when it was coming out, it spoke out and confessed its mission. It confessed its program and said, I'm here to destroy, and we don't want no deliverance crusades, the demon said. They take counsel. They have some form of counsel. They imagine shutting you down, shutting me down, and they use servants to do so. These embedded warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and witches pose as book bag toting jabronis, and they get embedded in the church activities.
Right.
And can reap havoc. If they can't get to you, they go down the line. They can go to other people that are surrounded in your inner circle and create this whirlwind of mouth of Satan type. Even sickness and disease they send. They send infirmity. And I'm going to get into that later. I want to touch on this Taliban Christianity real quick because it makes me sick. So I'm just going to go over a couple of verses. Listen, I was sat under Pastor Randy Brown, a powerful man of God. And his wife, Pastor Gail, was a powerful woman of God. And they worked together in ministry, and Pastor Gail handled certain aspects of the ministry, and Pastor Randy handled certain aspects. Pastor means shepherd, okay? So let's just get that. Shepherding is not easy, by the way. So if someone is taking on that role to counsel and to help others in advice through the Word of God, that's not always an easy thing, because I tried it for 2 years once when I was doing the 944 projects with Tom, and we were going around the methadone clinics and preaching the gospel, and we had converts, 20, 30, 100 converts. And it came a time where I was shepherding. And believe me, it's not easy, especially if you're going through things in your own life, and then you got to deal with taking people around, they're closed, family problems, situations, got to go to Social Security. So all times that shepherding is not easy. Now, there's certain aspects of ministry that is in a generic platform where I believe a woman can minister, help and aid. This is so elementary, okay? If someone is full of the Word of God and mature in their calling, you can get godly advice from that person, and it's scriptural. There's plenty of aspects of Scripture where prophetesses were brought forth for advice as oracles of God to speak and proclaim the Word of God. Okay? It's scriptural. Now, there are men of God today that are whacked. Okay? They're completely embedded in wacko salvation plans that can't help you, which incidentally, next week there's a show called Pray the Gay Away, which is all about OSIS and homosexuals yielding to their flesh, and they started churches. OSIS is a homosexual doctrine, like I've always said. Okay? Because once they think, yeah, Lisa Ling's doing a show on it next week. It's called Pray the Gay Away. And it's just, you'll see all these homosexuals holding hands and praising the Lord. Because they believed OSIS. The OSIS took over their mind. And they said, for years, we struggled with our flesh. And we wanted to stop being homosexuals. But now, we realize that God loves us anyway. And the OSIS doctrine is damning them. You see how sick it is? Now, the hardcore Taliban Baptist jabronis that are driving around in their white Taliban Toyota pickups with the RPD machine guns, they're driving around. They're driving around, Pat. They're driving around. You know, where's your scarf on your head? You know, they're going down the road, and they find you with no scarf, and they attack you, and they say you got a demon because you didn't have the napkin on your head, and they put the table doyle on your head. Okay? And that's, you know, some form, this, it's not even scriptural that the table doyle is going to deliver women. Okay? It's just not even scriptural. Could you imagine in scripture, you look at the great prophetess Deborah, who was exalted as a judge of God's people in a time when they were struggling and oppressed. Could you imagine these people, oh, well, Barak comes and says, well, can you pray for us? Can you prophesy against these 900 chariots? But make sure you got your table doyle on your head and submit to the plan. You know, she prophesied that victory. She was exalted as a judge, meaning she was raised to bring God's people out of a snare. And so it is today, this broken arrow in the church. If you think you could just walk in the church and be saved today, you're crazy. You need to find someone that's embedded, Pat is embedded in sound doctrine. She has a platform and a legacy of sound teachings. You are safe. You can praise the Lord and study the Word and say, hey, this woman has a legacy of operating in sound doctrine. She's not going to flip on me tomorrow and all of a sudden wear a napkin on her head, jump around, and be preaching once saved, always saved, and everybody homo, is everybody saved? Everything's just, I don't have to worry about that. Now, you find someone that's going to preach sound doctrine, and you endure it. It's something Paul said to endure the sound doctrine, meaning if you were going to swim from point A to point B, there is some endurance needed to get to point A to point B. That water is sound doctrine. Do you want to swim it? Do you want to swim it? Or do you want to take the loosey, goosey, greasy, grace, osis, damnable heresy, which these homosexuals that are on the show next week called Pray the Gay Away, Lisa Ling, who's on Oprah's network doing this show called Our America, and me and Maria, right, Maria?
Yeah.
She almost vomited. They're doing the sacrament, eucalyptus or whatever, and they're holding hands, praising God, and they're all like, God accepts us like this now because of OSIS. And I'm saying to myself, this is the fruit of that sick doctrine. They've stopped fighting. They've yielded and said, God accepts us like this. They've given up. That's what OSIS secretly does. Now, these Baptist people that are jumping around trying to get you with a napkin on your head are nuts. They are jabronis. Okay? Endure sound doctrine. Endure it. Rachel, incidentally, was a shepherd in the scripture. Okay? She was a shepherdess. She was over the herd and the flock. And Jacob liked that. There's certain aspects of women.
The blood of Jesus over the year.
Amen. Amen. And Miriam also was a leadership of God's people. Now, you could take that to another platform where the Jezebelic power these apostolic movement women. Okay, they're whack too.
Take dominion over the airways.
Yeah. And these apostolic movement people, they set themselves up as gurus. Now, gurus across the... Jezebel's in men, too. And likewise. So, Ahab could be a man, Jezebel could be a man. So, you want to analyze the fruit of that person's ministry. So, if you see a woman that has gone into Jezebelic apostolic movement, setting themselves up as a guru, there's a problem. Red flag, red flag. At that point, you maneuver away from that and say, we don't need a guru. God has set up the Holy Spirit to be my counselor, my teacher, and I will endure sound doctrine. I don't need no guruism. And, the napkin on the head to implant that on people and somehow that's going to get you delivered, not necessarily true, folks. Okay? Sound doctrine is the foundation of any ministry. You must start with the basic salvation message and then build from there. You can grow from a sound teaching. Now, there's a flood of wackos manifesting on the internet, and it's not really safe. It's not safe in the church, not safe on the internet. So what do you do? What do you do? You have to find ministers and people that have been preaching sound doctrine over the years. Like, for instance, David Wilkerson. He has a legacy of sound doctrine. You can nod to yourself and say, that man of God is established, and the fruit and legacy testifies to that. Dr. Pat has a legacy of truth that is she has promoted. She has attacked false ministers. She's attacked false doctrine. And because of that, there is a platform and legacy to testify to that. So we want to make sure when we are analyzing ministry that the fruit that is pointing to it is safe. And the Pabel Doyles, Osis, and all these things are dangerous. Just like the porthole people that want to open up portholes and take your hand. And I've been to giggling meetings. I've been to so much apostasy in the church that it's scary. So when the Lord says, come out of her, my people, he's talking about the harlot system, not just the world. So we praise God for that. And I will get into the scripture later when we get into the uncovering of the witchcraft and the embedded warlocks in the church, which incidentally... Russ Dizdar has been talking about for years. So, I'm going to get... Pat, you there?
I'm right here.
Praise God.
Amen. You know, God is wonderful and great, and he wants his people to understand the Word of God, Rich, because that is the highway to heaven. And when you get people that give out false salvation messages... And you've got a group, groups of people that are telling people that they can do anything they want to after they become a Christian and sin and still get into the kingdom. I got news for you. That is just a lie. My brother is in hell today because of this foul doctrine that's being taught on the radio. By this group of men. And it's got me really stirred up. Because of the fact it's so serious, because once you fall away, the only highway back is through Jesus Christ, and you can actually overstep your doorway into the kingdom of God, and people need to get a fear of God in them, is what I say. God is a wonderful, loving God. But these slaps in the face, I mean, you were just talking about the homosexual thing. These people are calling themselves the Brotherhood, for heaven's sakes. Yes. And, you know, I've always known the Brotherhood to be a part of the Illuminati. I don't know where they're getting off, but Christianity is not a male religion. It's a family religion. And it's a religion for children, women, and husbands. And the ministers in Christianity all all the people of Christianity was given the great commission to go forth and preach the gospel. He didn't say, well, ladies, you can't go because you don't have a towel on your head like a Muslim woman would. And you can't go because a sentence was said in the New Testament for the wives to be silent in the church and ask their husbands questions about the service when they get home. And a group of biblically ignorant men take that scripture and silence all the women for centuries, and hardly anybody stands up for the women. I tell you, if we're going to bring the harvest in, God is calling women and men, according to Joel chapter 2 and Joel and Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
He said, your handmaidens shall prophesy. What is a handmaiden? Who is he talking about? He's talking about women. And then this stuff about putting a napkin on your head to get deliverance, I never heard of such weird, stupid, eerie stuff in my life. I mean, there's nothing, absolutely nothing in the Word of God that has this sort of a gospel in it. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians 11, it does talk about a covering for a woman's head. But you know what the covering is? It's a covering of her having long hair. It says in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown, because it be ashamed for a woman to be shorn and shaven. And then when it talks about the man, it that same chapter, it's telling him not to grow his hair out like a woman. And when they talk about women having coverings on their heads, let me ask you, men, you see Jewish synagogues. They haven't changed what they do for centuries. And you'll see men with those little yarmulkes on their head.
Right.
Why don't you go put a cover on your head? Maybe you'll get deliverance. It is just insane.
Right.
The gospel is free, and Jesus paid his price for all believers to be delivered. And he didn't require one thing for anyone to be delivered. This is just perverse gospel that's being put out. I'm very, very sorry.
Yeah. It's pretty bad when you have to perform with napkins, table doils. You know, it's just getting a little bit too crazy. I will say this. Deborah was definitely exalted to a leadership position. And I know I touched on with you and John 20 about as far as women being used of the Lord. When Jesus was resurrected, the disciples weren't necessarily in the proper location. I don't know if it was a lack of faith or whatever. Mary was. Mary was the first prophetic word, per se, after the resurrection was given to her. Go tell my disciples, I have seen the Lord.
Yes.
So she was sent as a messenger to preach or proclaim or bring forth a word that released faith to the disciples. It changed their mood. It changed their attitude. They went from weeping to joy, okay, from a word from the Lord, which was delivered to a woman named Mary, who some say was a converted harlot, converted adulterer, whatever it might be. She released. Now, why would the Lord have used a woman to go to the disciples and release that word? I mean, to release a word, I have seen the Lord, to the disciples, that's a pretty powerful message if you ask me, especially when everybody's bound in worry and fear and doubt and they're all sad and trod down and immiserated, and here comes the word of the Lord delivered from a converted prostitute. Released, set free, and the atmosphere was complete. You don't better believe the anointing was on her. There was an anointing to break that sorrow. There was an anointing in that message, that simple message. I have seen the Lord. Okay? God used a woman in the New Testament church to actually formulate and bring together his purpose and plan. So this whole shunning of this Taliban, listen, this Taliban Christianity, you know, women, get your napkin, sit on the pew, and we'll wind you up when we're ready. And we're just the men. We got the OSIS's, and we'll preach once saved, always saved over here, and then we'll put a doyle on this one's head, and then the demon will fly out. And it's crazy. What the heck is going on?
It's crazy Christianity. That's exactly what it is. And it's not Christianity. It's some kind of a religion that these men have made up. And they get converts, all right, because many people today do not know the Word of God, and so they're easily led by these types of people that are not really Christians at all. My Bible says that you're a Christian when you repent from your sins and you ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, and He saves your spirit.
Amen.
Now, what they do is they spend all of their life looking at the flesh of a woman, judging a woman by her flesh, and stopping half of the body of Christ through isolated scriptures in the New Testament. Like the thing on the head, to be honest with you, anybody can read those scriptures and see that the Paul was talking about women's long hair, and about men's growing long hair, looking like a woman. He wanted women to look like women and men to look like men.
Yeah.
Back in those heathen pagan days, there was large religious groups that practiced homosexuality and lesbianism. There were statues of their gods and their goddesses showing women with bald heads. And men with long hair. And so Paul was trying to correct these women and these men. Look, show the world that you're a real Christian. Now, walking around with a dolly or a towel on your head, people are just going to think Christians are crazy. And I think that's what these men that are not real Christians are trying to do. They're trying to make us look like fools.
That's right, yeah.
Well, it's just not going to work because you know something? People are waking up and all of this craziness and the deliverance of talking to demons. They can't cast a demon out until they talk to it, find out its name and how many's in there and whether, how long, well, let me tell you something. Demons come out because you know the name of Jesus. And they come out because of the anointing and the power of God, giving you the discerning of spirits. And that is a supernatural gift where God shows you when you're in a deliverance combat. The names of demons. I don't have to ask demons their names. The Lord's given them to me supernaturally. I mean, you know something, Rich? Wizards and witches are very supernatural people. They don't learn their religion by rote. They go into the supernatural realms and they get their information from demons. Christians need to become closer and submitted to Jesus. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and me, and all the Christians, and Ephesians 1 says, he wants us to have knowledge and wisdom that he, Jesus Christ, will give his power to usward who believe. And the same anointing, the same power that he walked on the earth with, he gives to his believers. You don't have to a shadow box to get a Christian out of a, I mean, to get a demon out of a person. I mean, you, your eyes zero in like laser beams, at least mine do. Whenever I'm in a deliverance session, the Lord is working with me all the way. and I know what he tells me to do. It doesn't take years, as these Taliban Christians are saying. Do you know they say that it takes years for a person to get delivered? Now, here you are, Rich. You are in a country with 300 million demon-possessed people, 99% of the church, which I might add, most of the leaders in that church are men that are backslidden, running around on their wives, many of them homosexuals, many of them preaching false gospels, many of them in witchcraft and wizards themselves. And here we are with a small little group of men thinking that they're doing a great job by taking one person and spending 2 years asking demons what their name is. That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And I'm just here to tell you, God is not happy with what's going on with this, and he will correct it. I know that God is a supernatural God, and when I go into a deliverance service, God is there with me, standing by me, standing in front of the people, casting those devils out. I've done mass deliverance in churches. I've gone into churches, had miracle services, and seen every single person in the church healed. God is a mighty, powerful God. He spoke the world into existence. He is a God that wants to see the captives set free, not captives get more demons because ignorant men are up there asking demons how to get out of the person by asking their names. If that was important to know their names, there would be more than that one scripture in there in the book. There's no scripture that shows you God picking demons out like people pick cooties out of a person's hair. I'm very sorry. But this is a serious thing that's going on, and I think it's very serious because of the fact that the women over the centuries have been so cowered by these chauvinistic, spiritually chauvinistic men that are coming on the scene saying, shut up.
Yeah.
I can't deliver you. Go get your towel. Go get your napkin. Put don't it on
stop.
Is that just crazy?
I know. The table oil thing's got me. I believe there is a balance in the names of demons, because I know Derek Prince definitely, when he was casting out the roots of religious error, he made every demon because he was curious, and Eternal Security happened to be one of them. So there has to be a balance there. What's happening is they're taking it to another realm, and there's other ministries that do that, and they'll sit there and have conversations with demons for hours. Now, recently I cast a demon out, and I knew its name through discernment. Now, you actually have a very powerful gift of discernment, so you kind of have an upper hand in the deliverance ministry. A lot of people aren't sharp in discernment yet.
Yeah, but you know something, Rich? It's like anything else. You learn spiritual things.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual
Amen.
Things are spiritually discerned. And so if you never use it, you won't know that you've got it. And I cast demons out by name, but I don't go in and ask them their names. Sometimes the activity that a person is in, say they're in homosexual activity or lesbianism or smoking or drinking, well, I will call a spirit of cigarettes out, and it shows that person that this is why this demon is in you. And if you leave here and go and smoke a cigarette, it's coming back.
True.
And so the name thing, I'm not opposed to deliverance ministers saying names. What I'm telling you is this. If, you know, the Lord will give us lists. You've got a book with list of demons. I've got a book with list of demons. And when people begin to first learn how to do deliverance, what they do is they take those lists and they work with those lists. And as they get closer to the Lord and more familiar with the deliverance ministry, the Lord begins to work supernaturally and give them names. But if they're not open to the supernatural part of the ministry, they will just work with these names on the list. That's what I'm talking about.
True. Right.
And the other thing that I'm talking about is people just getting the names of demons and talking to the demon and thinking that the demon can't leave until they get the information. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Demons leave when you don't have to even know their names. If you take authority over demons and you have the anointing, they will leave.
Amen.
I've seen it happen. I mean, we make things so complicated when men get into it and begin to add their opinions instead of what the Word says. And that's what I'm talking about.
True.
And,
we actually got tons of calls, so I don't know how that happened. But should we take a call now?
Sure.
Okay. Caller from 705, you're on the air? Watch the radio?
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing? Rich from Watch Radio, on the air live. Yeah, hello. I hear you.
Hey, Brother Rich, and hi, Pastor Pat. How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, good to hear that. I just have to say amen and praise the Lord for everything you said, what you've been talking about. This is going on in our city so badly. Everywhere we look nowadays, the Freemasons have infiltrated into our churches. The children are walking around with tattoos of all kinds of foreign languages, Eastern religion. The pastors have turned a blind eye. They've had ushers that were clearly homosexuals with makeup on, being ushers in the church.
Wow.
Nobody is speaking the pure word of God. You will never hear King James Bible ever preached.
Jeez.
in our city whatsoever. Our Christian radio station is now taken over by the Freemasons. And anybody that we've spoken to and that was starting to wake up, they've had ideas because they have businesses or whatever that they want to get involved with these people that are higher up. And so then, after knowing that we know where the Freemasons are and where the occultic activity is taking place, they're actually going and basically talking behind our backs and going and speaking to these evil people and letting them know what's going on. I'm getting very concerned for my family.
Wow.
And I really want to move out of my town. My husband and I basically, we just keep to ourselves with a few of our friends because the majority of them are so wrapped up. Every church, we go into the Baptist church thinking, well maybe we're going to still get the word there. And what do we find? A Freemason eye chip pamphlet.
Wow.
Giving recommendations how to chip your children.
Oh my God.
Well, you know,
right in the church.
Here's the thing. It's not just your town. This has gone all over our nation. Our nation is under the judgment of God because of the backslidden church. And the few remnant and the few people that are still in the remnant, they've got a little group of clap of people that are preaching against women, telling people about Jesus. And so that should be enough right there to let you know something's wrong.
Mm.
But Jesus is coming very soon, and he said, when I return to earth, will I find faith? We have to fight for our churches, and we have to fight for our faith. And the people that are afraid to stand up in this hour of time and speak the true gospel, speak the name of Jesus, you may well not make heaven. I'm just telling you, these are serious times. You've got your little kids in the state of Florida, for instance, that the state legislature about 4 or 5 years ago passed a piece of legislation, and they were Republicans, by the way, that sexual contents had to be preached all the way down to kindergarten children. And the parents did nothing. Nobody said nothing. The newspaper did nothing. And so then when you graduate your children from high school this day and time, they come out and they see nothing wrong with evil. And when you bring them into a true church, it won't be long before all of those worldly teachings call them out into the world. and they're lost. And the parents are so lazy that they won't even come to prayer meetings and pray for their children that they're out there lost. It's the church. It's the condition of the church. And I'm going to tell you something. I hate sin, and the Bible tells me to hate sin. And I hate false prophets. Jesus told us, beware of false prophets, and I hate false prophets because these are the things that take people to hell. And I will stand up and tell the truth as long as there's breath in my body. And there's no man and there's no group of people that's going to tell me to shut up because I will preach. I've preached since 1974. I have a whole bunch of souls that are coming into the kingdom of God because I went all over the world and preached the gospel. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen the crippled jump out of wheelchairs. I've seen the blind see. I've seen more than five people raised from the dead. I've seen people get up out of the intensive care and ask for food and walk. Let me tell you, they can say that my anointing's not of God all they want to, but bless God, I know that it is. And there are so many people across this world that can testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord in Pat Holiday's life. And you know, it's a very dangerous thing to call a woman, a Jezebel, that you have experienced that anointing, that you have experienced devils cast out not only in yourself but in other people that you've known, and to stand up and call a woman that is anointed and called by Jesus Christ a Jezebel is no different than when Jesus came and the Pharisees stood there and said, oh, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub. Well, Beelzebub is the king of the flies, and Jezebel is the queen of witches. So you tell me what the difference is. And the person that did that, I'm warning you, you better get on your knees and see if you can be forgiven, because I'm not real sure you can. Because in my way of thinking, this is totally blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And you'll never make heaven unless the Lord takes you back. Go ahead and hang around with the OSAS people. Go ahead and take souls to hell with you. You've been warned. You're being warned tonight. You've been warned all week. And you've been warned ever since you started with the Jezebel stuff. And I just don't bite my tongue on this stuff. Jesus' name.
Praise God, yeah. I mean, we got to be real careful, especially a woman of God that's been in ministry for many years. You're not new in ministry. And you have a legacy in the deliverance ministry. A caller from Canada, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, so we got a bunch of callers on there that we're going to take later on. Incidentally, if you want to call in, the phone number is 626-657-2127. 626-657-2127. And our shortwave radio people out there, you can call in and listen on the phone if your shortwave phase is out, which I know from being a radio man. Incidentally, we are a radio broadcasting show. We're not just a chat room show. You know, a lot of people just have these chat rooms. We are a radio ministry. We've been radio for years. So if you're listening on MP3, you're listening on the shortwave tonight, we praise God for that. Incidentally, to our shortwave network out there, Pat Holiday has a ministry in Jacksonville, Florida. Pat, care to give the details of that?
Yes, I would love to. We have a church called Miracle Outreach Church. It's at 1537 Mill Creek Road and Jacksonville, Florida, 11. And let me tell you, we are getting people from all over the nation coming for deliverance to Miracle Outreach Ministries. Last night we had a young man from Georgia. He got free. Another woman came over from Panama City.
Wow.
We've had them from New Jersey, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, from all over the country. They're coming for deliverance. And it doesn't take them 2 years to get delivered, my friend. Mm. They're getting delivered when they come to Miracle. Don't let people get you bedded down into a ministry that just talks about demons all the time and talks about women and the way they look. Wow. Get in a ministry that preaches the Word of God. Go where you can find the anointing of God. Go where people will love you and take care of you, and that they don't think that man is a superior being over a woman. The Bible doesn't teach those things,
no.
And it's just pure darkness. I'm calling people to stand up for Jesus. He died on the cross for women and men, and I just want to thank all of the men that stand with me, and there are many of them that do. I have an associate pastor that is a man.
Right.
And you know, Rich, one of the things about that is this. When men come into the ministry, men have issues that they're not going to talk to me about.
That's right.
So my associate pastor, Pastor Dennis handles those sensitive subjects. And women come in there with things that they're never going to share it with a man.
That's
not
right.
Ever. I mean, some of those women have had abortions. Some of the women come in and they are lesbians. Some of them are just all kinds of things. I mean, these men are really preaching against salvation and people getting saved and helped with this
right.
weird, twisted gospel.
That's right.
That roaming around.
That's exactly it. And when I was touching on earlier about my old pastor, Randy, Pastor Gal would handle, like you just said, and like pastoring, being a shepherd is not easy either. Okay, so a lot of the women coming in with women issues would be handled or counseled or shepherded by Pastor Gal. That's what she did. She ministered to that sect. Now, there's generic platforms of ministry which both can counsel. Obviously, from the Word of God, but women and men issues should be ministered in that. I believe God has that order set. I believe Miriam in Scripture was, you know, that type of prophetess with Moses at that time. I believe that throughout Scripture we can see women and men being used powerfully in ministry. And Taliban Christianity, I've never been for it because me, myself, Pastor Dana Profeta over here prayed for me probably about 8 years ago. Tom was there, my friend Tom Hewitt, and she prayed, okay, I had neck problems for many years. And when she prayed for me, my entire neck straightened out. And listen, I had a ton of people pray for me. I've been to chiropractic care, all types of medications. And when she prayed, I felt and heard snapping in my neck straightened right out. Okay, so miracle power flowing from that. Now, why would God back up someone that is completely out of order, doesn't have a napkin on their head, and is going forward in ministry, preaching, proclaiming Jesus Christ? Why would so much power be demonstrated through that woman when she prayed for me? If it was in error, because according to Paul, it says my doctrine, he said his doctrine was backed up by the power and demonstration of the Spirit. She had power and demonstration of the Spirit. So I think this whole thing has been taken out of context. And we're going to let Maria share on something right now. She has something to touch on that the Lord has impressed upon her heart. Maria?
Hi, Pastor Pat. I have just been so compelled with the 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 to 12. And for several weeks, I have been so confused why this one passage has been used by so many people to come against women preaching or pastoring a church or teaching or ministering. And I have been asking for an answer, and I was able to really look into an area where it really made me understand. And I just gonna read, what I'm gonna do is I just gonna read what I wrote here. The First Timothy chapter 2:11-12 is often used as the foundational biblical argument of those who deny women the right to teach or even preaching or pastoring in the church. Since this passage is the only place in the New Testament that explicitly addresses the issue of women not being permitted to teach, it is necessary to argue in some detail why the restriction on women teaching in this passage, which I have been looking at, was basically directed to the women of Ephesus. And I was looking at 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to deal with the false teachers. The false teachers had seduced and deceived weak-willed women who were always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth, which is shown in 2 Timothy 3:6-7. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Some of those women began spreading the false teaching from church house to church house. The evidence of for this is found in 1 Timothy 5:13. Where women are wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but toddlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Paul describes the false teaching at Ephesus as including old wives' tales too, something Paul took seriously enough to feel that it posed a threat to the congregation. The seriousness of the woman's error in Ephesus were clearly demonstrated even in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. "For some are already turned aside after Satan." I believe when Paul placed restrictions on women in 1 Timothy chapter 2:11-12, which says, "Let the woman learned in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." I think what he had in his mind were just women spreading false teaching. It is to them he admonishes to learn in quietness and full submission, and does not permit to teach or to have authority over man. What is often overlooked is his command that a woman should learn, which is in imperative in the Greek. Many think Paul is commanding women not to teach, but instead he is specifically commanding them to learn. While these women are in learning, they are not to teach or usurp authority. I look at that word learned, in the Greek, it means understand. So I believe that when a woman is in study, that is the only time that she could not preach. This is the way I look at it.
That's wonderful. I've never heard that spoken to the depth of that before. And I taught in the seminary for 8 years, and so I just want to just commend you for that research. I hope you'll send it to me, because I like to collect things like that. But in the chat room, they're asking, one lady said that she believes women should be, quote, in submission. Well, what we have to decide is, what does the Bible mean by women being in submission? And nowhere in the Bible does it teach that women are in submission to every man. women are taught to be in submission to their husbands, which my husband has gone to be with the Lord, and I was in submission to my husband. And it may surprise many of you to know that my husband was not saved for many years. But I have people around me that have been around me for more than 23 years, and they saw my family relationship, and they saw me submit to my husband the fullness of his life. Submission means that the husband is the head of the family. The woman is in submission to her husband as head of the family, and the husband is in submission to Jesus, and then Jesus is in submission to God. And so when you say submission, now we all know that all across this country, the church is in a mess. People can't find places to even go to church. Mm. How can you tell women to go submit to men when we find very few men in this world today that are in submission to Jesus? And the Bible doesn't teach it anyway. So if you ask me if I have a pastor, now, yes, I do. I have a pastor by the name of Bavoni, Pascal Bavoni from Puerto Rico. He's here in Jacksonville. I worked in his church with him for many, many years. He knows me by the Spirit, respects me as a woman of God, took me all over Puerto Rico and introduced me to pastors, and we had the time of our life getting the word out in Puerto Rico. So don't take these words and just throw them around unless you know what you're talking about. My husband, as far as the ministry was concerned, he supported it financially. He told me, he said, honey, he said, God has called you. He did not call me to preach. He called you. He said, I will support your ministry. He supported me going on the mission fields. He supported it financially. When I made my singing tape, he took it all around Jacksonville and was giving it out. My husband was very, very proud of me. Mm. And he not only supported the ministry, but he supported me in getting educated and being in politics. I ran for the state legislature in 1972. He was on the bus with me going around campaigning, and my husband had a very a broken back at one time, and it was uncomfortable for him to do that. But there he was cheering me on because he believed in me, and he saw the results of what I was doing, both politically and spiritually. So women, if you have a good husband that is submitted to the Lord and he's taken good care of you, praise God for that, because there are many, 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 many great women of God, great women of God. And there are surely many, many men like Brother Keltner that are great men of God. And they're all precious to me. And I want you to lift us all up because we need your prayers, because Jesus is coming very soon.
Yeah.
And we don't need to cripple people that are really willing to go out and talk about Jesus and dedicate their whole life to his cause. Every moment of waking for me is dedicated to Jesus' cause and telling people the truth and telling him about Jesus.
Amen.
So you want to shut somebody down like that, you will answer to the Lord about it. I can guarantee you that.
Jeez.
Because he called me. He gave me the gifts. He gives me the anointing, him and the Holy Ghost. I go and do what he tells me to do. You got an argument about Pat Holiday, go to the Jesus and tell him about it. But don't go around calling me a witch, because you're a liar if you do that.
Right.
And I'm just telling you, you're lying. go ahead.
Be careful, you know. Be careful of God's servants. Listen, if your husband is apostate or an apostate teaching and you're trying to come out of it, I don't think you should submit to your husband anymore, if you ask me. I think truth, I don't think you should go do these portholes, hold hands with him. I think you should come out of that. I don't think you should get involved with a lot of these Baptist churches are doing orgies. There's one over here in Lindenhurst. Mike went in there in a Baptist church, and they have orgies there. So, yeah, if you wouldn't want to do that. Obviously, Abigail was a smart woman of God because she recognized the anointing. Her husband, Nabal, was a drunk and had no respect or regard for the ministry in the wilderness of David. And she didn't submit to his foolishness and was able to save an entire village by going to the anointing. Going to David was a representation of Messiah. Bringing those raisins and bread and honey is refreshments to recognize the deliverance ministry because David was a deliverer in the world. It's stingy. Stingy spirit operating in Nabal. And she didn't want to support that stingy demon that he was manifesting in. So I think in some cases we got to warn people to come out of that. Now, we're going to be shifting gears. I think we laid a pretty good foundation that women are absolutely a necessity in the Lord's kingdom. And it's such a stupid debate. The Taliban head covering people jumping around. Listen, I don't even have time for you, okay? It's the end of the world, okay? Go drive around in your Toyota pickup, okay, looking for people with beards and towels on their head, whatever you want to do, okay? It's late in the hour. God's going to use you. God will use a rooster. He'll use a she-ass. He'll use whoever he wants, okay? And in Scripture, it's clear that God has used powerful women. And Deborah definitely was a judge. Okay, one of the highest positions over God's people, she was exalted to release a prophecy over those 900 iron chariots that were creating havoc.
You know, Rich, women getting souls for Jesus takes nothing away from men. Like I told my husband one time, I said, honey, all the souls that I get and everything that God does in this ministry, you're going to get a reward for that too because you supported it and because you believed that Jesus was in it.
Residual,
and
yeah.
So you see, every soul that comes into a ministry, if you support an evangelistic ministry, if you support this radio show, you are helping to lift the hands up of the people that are giving of themselves and going forth with the zeal of Jesus just to get the word out to save souls. And so I believe that if men could just change their masonry type thinking that this is a man's world and women have no part in it unless it's just a little part of cooking and being their servants, if Christian men would just see that God made marriages that we can turn the world upside down together, and that a woman, a strong woman that knows the word, takes absolutely nothing away from a strong man that knows the word.
Right.
I believe that we could turn the world upside down for Christ, too.
That's right. And that's the problem, obviously. Always is, whether it's a woman or man, is that Jezebelic spirit. Because Jezebelic mind control, controlling demon is in men too. We all need to operate in humility and go forth in patience and love and charity. And the reality of it is that Jezebelic mindset can inhibit women. They can be. I've had Jezebels for years come against me. One to this day is still doing videos about me on YouTube and all this other stuff, and she prophesies over me all the time to kill me. And this has been going on for years. So these people that make themselves oracle, these oracle-type ministries, women ministries, you got to be careful with them, okay?
Yes.
Get away from these oracle guru-type things.
Yes.
And stick to the foundation of the Word. Now, we're going to be shifting gears into the other topic of exposing embedded witches in the church, which incidentally is in unison with our first message, because our first message is perverted, twisted salvation messages and insane doctrines of Brotherhood Baptist wacko jabronis. Now, you take that and you analyze it and you say, well, wait a minute. In Galatians, the first thing Paul starts off with, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, which is the church he set up. Could you imagine that? He says, who hath bewitched you? There was witchcraft that was sowing to their minds, mind-control spirits, to thwart them and dissipate them into other areas of mindset of the flesh and works orientation, which the devil loved. The devil loves getting you off track in the message of grace, in the message of the warning to walk your walk out with fear and trembling, and just this greasy grace message. When you find that message, you'll find a witch.
Amen. Okay?
They're there bewitching it. They know what they're doing. Now, I'm not talking about the Wiccas and all these other witches that dabble with some crystals and stuff like that. That's a different level and tier of witchcraft. And I know a lot of people on Facebook that listen to us are converted witches. I'm not really talking about you. I'm talking about a different level of occultists. I'm talking about undercover, embedded, evil people that are there to send disease, to send sickness, to sow discord and weave webs. Wicked people that astral project and watch you and try to get personal items of you. I'm talking about people that occultists that are totally possessed. Some of them are splits. Half of them is a Christian, half of them is a demon, and this is how they make them and formulate them so they can fit in and rub shoulders with leadership. Now, Pat's going to touch on this. She's got a lot of experience with this. She's got a lot of confirmations on witches today that are even embedded in the church, that are rubbing shoulders and manipulating pastors and leadership to try to kill them, to sow discord, to send disease and sickness, and to pray listen, they're prayer warriors, but they're prayer warriors of death. Okay? They are sowing disease. They're sowing sickness. They're sowing discord. They're sowing disharmony, disunity. And if they can't get you, they go down the food chain. And they go around the circle, and they weave their web. And this is what we're going to talk about now. We're shifting gears. Pat had some attacks, astral travelers, people watching her. She's on the radio. We're on the radio now. And you better believe these witches get heightened to people that know about their tactics, because you are now a threat because you know. And it's just not like I talk to some Christians believers and they just, I tell them, we show them pictures. I show them pictures of the crystals and accursed objects and jars that Maria found at these covens buried in her house. And they still don't see it. They say, oh, well, it can't really be because we're so powerful in the Lord. You don't got to worry about these covens coming in your house planting crystals. Oh, yeah? Well, how come they came in the house and were walking around astral projecting in the house? How'd they get in? They got in from planting the accursed object.
That's right.
So we have pictures of all these crystals, all these crescent moons. Right, Maria? I mean, how many accursed objects did we find? How many witches did we find embedded in the ministry when we were doing deliverance crusades? Now, if you're not doing anything, if you're just a Facebook Christian that's on there posting text and copy and pasting, you're not really a threat to the devil. I'm sorry. You think you are, but there's nothing really going on. Once you get on the ground and orchestrate real deliverance crusades, real healing crusades, and people are getting set free, healed, delivered, and there's conversions onto Christ, especially in these Muslim countries, which we're doing, and they will send covens against you. They will be a ramp up against you. And I know you, the Facebook Christian, is saying, well, that can't be. They can't do anything to you. And let me copy and paste my text at you. And I'm saying, dude, we had it happen 3 times. Don't sit here and tell me that it can't happen.
So. Well, you know, I see prayer warrior on here. And so we just take authority over all of the prayers of the witches that are praying against this program in the name of Jesus right now. And we cut their silver cords if they're soul traveling against any of the members of this chat room, and myself and Brother Keltner and his wife, in Jesus' name. And what I want to say is there are whole movements that are wizards and witches that have taken over big portions of the Christian church called the Third Wave.
Right.
There's one woman in the Third Wave by the name of Patricia King. And Patricia King admits that she was previously a witch, but yet she still does things supposedly as a Christian pastor and as a Christian leader.
Yeah.
Now, you see, when I talk about women, Christian women, I'm not talking about witches that have infiltrated and invaded the churches, and there are many of them. And that's where you have to have the discerning of spirits. Not every woman that's a Christian is a Jezebel.
Mm.
But Patricia King, she sells feathers, little pillows of feathers.
Wow.
To the people that are with her. And this woman is Todd Bentley's pastor.
Wow.
She prophesizes. There are many, many women that call themselves prophets in the body of Christ that are nothing but wicked witches. We've over the years had several of them to try to come through, to our ministries, and of course through the discerning of spirits, immediately we know who they are. When witches and wizards come into our meeting and the anointing comes, usually they get up and run out of the church. You can ask the members of my church. They've seen it happen over and over and over again. So the truth is the anointing, you see, they can only do what you think they can do, and they're only as powerful as you think they are. And they're not powerful. You know, somebody came to me recently and they said, Pastor Pat, there's a witch after me. And I said, oh, what are you doing? She said, nothing. And I said, well, she'll get you then. Because you see, we have spiritual weapons. And the spiritual weapons that we have overcome all the powers of darkness. All, every bit of it. The only problem is we never use it, or let's say some of you never use it, because I use it all the time. And so, but getting back to the witchcraft in the church, it's everywhere. The American pastor is totally blinded concerning this issue because they've never tried to find out anything at all about it.
That's right.
They say that they don't have to worry about witches because they're Christians. And then when you go in their churches have infiltrations of witches and wizards. And sometimes even the biggest givener in the church is a wizard, sitting right up there on front of the pulpit, and nobody even sees them. And so there's been several women pastors that have been killed right here in Jacksonville, Florida, within the last few years.
Wow.
One of them told me, she said, on her deathbed, she said, Pastor Pat, she said, a man that's a pastor in this town was coming by my church every day and anointing it. And he told me he was going to kill me. I said, why didn't you call me and tell me that? She never called me and told me because she didn't believe it.
Wow.
And she believed that all she had to do is say, hallelujah, Jesus. Well, no, you have to resist the devil, and then he flees from you. You don't just let him come in your church and sit there and work powers on you. And so the truth is that people like Patricia King, and she's very big in the New World Order Church. There's Cindy Jacobs. She runs a worldwide intercessory prayer group, and she's real big in the Third Wave movement, right up underneath Peter Wagner, who, by the way, has retired and turned his ministry over to Chuck Pierce. Chuck Pierce is a big wizard in saying he's a Christian. He comes into an area, opens up stargates, and when he opens up stargates, foul weather comes into the area. They open up stargates to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the just. And you know who the just is? Their ministry. Well, when we got onto that, we started doing warfare against that. We about shut them down. Look, make sure you know who your target is. And you target me, you're going to get it right back.
Wow.
And I have never lost a battle. Because Jesus is always in front of me. So consider the cost. Zero in on me. I'll zero back on you. And we'll go hand-to-hand combat. And I will beat you every time. I tell you that truthfully.
Amen.
Because I know that my power does not come from me. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. His power to us that believe. And there's just no other power under the universe that is more powerful than Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right. I receive that. And just some of the signs, like these embedded witches that get into the ministry and start sowing a tithe and start acting like they want to participate and rub shoulders in leadership and get into the inner circle. That right there is normally one of the signs. When they're trying to escalate.
One of the signs, there are signs that one's in. One of the things that they do is first they try to shut down a prayer meeting if it's going on in the church. Then they sow a lot of discord. That's called a black widow witch. Mm. They're used by politicians and Wicca to sow discord among the people. And what they do is they will work in the background. They'll be your friend to your face. And then when you're not around, gossip begins to flurry all around about you and anybody else that's in the church. They will try to separate the pastor and his wife. A lot of times if it's a woman, which she will go and try to take the husband away from the wife. They try to get in children's church, and a lot of times they get there because Christians don't want to work. They want to get, quote, fed, and anybody that wants children's church can take it. I have run across in my ministry over the years many times witches working in the children's church. I'll tell you about a couple. There was one woman that when I would come into the radio church, there was a radio in the church, and I was on the air, and she would see me, and she would run from me. And so one night I was at the church, and I believe Derek Prince was at that church, and it was Lester Summerall. And she went up for prayer. And Lester Summerall believed that all you had to do was take authority over the demons one time and say, come out in the name of Jesus, and it was all over. That's what he believed. So when he got to her, he saw, I noticed that he discerned the spirit in her, and he stopped, he looked at her a minute, and he took authority over that demon. And then he went on to the next person. Well, she fell out under the power. And so in this particular church, they knew me personally. I was on the radio. And the pastor said, Pat, anytime you're in my church, you come up and minister if you feel led. So she fell out on the floor. And when I saw her on the floor, I ran up to the front. And I put my hand on her, and I took authority over those witchcraft devils over her and did deliverance on her within about 5 or 10 minutes. She was free. She sat up, and she wanted water, and she told this testimony. She said, I knew that Pat Holliday could see me, and every time she would come to the church, I would run from her. She said, because I knew she knew that I was a witch.
Wow.
She said, I've been coming to this church and going to the Coven every Saturday night.
Wow.
And she said, I'm the Bible teacher in this church. And she said, tonight I repent and ask Jesus to forgive me. And she was so thankful that she had instantly got delivered. And you see, that's what I'm talking about. Discerning of spirits is able to see spirits. It's able to see good spirits, evil spirits, and yes, human spirits. I've seen, just in the last year, two different human spirits came into my room. One was a man. He was a man of, looked like about 50, 60 years old. And when he stepped, my door was closed. He came through the closed door and stood and looked at me. And when I looked up and he saw that I could see him, he took off. He took a step back and disappeared. A little old lady with gray hair looked to me like she was 65 or 70. I woke up in the middle of the night, and she was standing over by my closet. And as soon as she saw that I could see her, she took off. Now, you see, spirits and human spirits, can they know the level of your Christianity. You're not going to fool them. You're not going to say to them, oh, I'm a powerful Christian. They won't touch me. They know what you are. They know whether you know what you're doing, and they certainly will touch you if you think you're what you are and you're not. And so I've had, those were human spirits, witches and wizards came into my room.
Jeez.
The spirits of flying spirit, you know, regular demons. One night I was fighting, I had been struck with an attack against my liver, and it was through stupidity, because when I was in the world, I used to like eggnog. Well, everybody knows that you put rum in eggnog, and you do it to kill the germs. Well, now they're selling the eggnog, you know, and around Christmas. And I bought some eggnog, came home and drank it without any booze or anything to kill the germs, and I almost died. And so I fought that thing. I turned yellow. I never went to the doctor. But God sent a woman from Indonesia to the church, and she came over, and she said, "What we get that all the time over in Indonesia, the yellow, I forgot what she called it. She said, but you drink a lot of tea. That's what we do for it. And I did, and I got over it. But at one point, I was so weak, all I could do was say the name of Jesus. And I opened up my eyes, and standing down at the foot of my bed, there was a spirit, most beautiful spirit that I've ever seen in my life. And it was white. It had beautiful white garments on. But when I looked up and I looked into its eyes, I knew it was Satan.
Wow.
And the minute he saw that I had discerned him, he just evaporated immediately. Well, one time Bishop Kanko came to our church, and he was speaking on spirits, and he lived under the sea, which, if you want my book, Witch Doctor and the Man, if you go up on my website, you can just punch the button there, and you can get that book at Amazon. It's a wonderful, deep, spiritual book. But anyway, Bishop Kanko was teaching us about the devils that he had been in league with when he was under the sea, and he told us that Satan can take 1,000 different types of forms and appearances. And he said he can still appear as he was in heaven before the fall, but he can only hold that appearance for just seconds at a time. And so these things that we are talking about are really and truly, absolutely either human people that are soul traveling to remote review you to see what you're doing and to report back to whoever's praying against you or whatever's happening.
That's right.
Now, whenever they soul travel, if they're a human being soul traveling, and they are, it's their spirit coming from the spirit in them comes out of them. It's connected by what is called a silver cord, and you can find that over in the Bible if somebody wants to look it up on the webpage and print it in for us.
Ecclesiastic.
Okay. It's connected to you like a tether of one of these balloons, these flying balloons that they have. And as long as that silver cord is tethered to the human body, the person will live. If that cord or the silver cord is clipped, then that person will die. No question about it, because they can't live unless they're attached to the human body. Now, the person that cannot see into the spirit realms, what happens is these people come in and they remote control you. Sometimes after you go to bed at night, they will try to rape you. Sometimes they will send Asmodeus, which is a sexual demon that works in homosexuals, lesbians, marriages, and things like that. The sexual demon can rape you, but so can the human spirit. And so what happens is sometimes people will have dreams of these things happening to them. If you have a dream, when you wake up in the morning, wash yourself with the blood of Jesus and bind that being from ever returning to you, and ask God that if a human spiritual being is coming to you, to cut the silver cord, and it'll all be over for you. Now, the other thing is witches and wizards practice witchcraft in the middle of the night. And when they soul travel, they will come to you in your dreams or in your sleep, and they will feed you food. If you dream about eating food at night and you remember it the next day, wake up and break the power of witchcraft over you, because what they have done is they have come and fed you a potion while you're asleep.
Wow.
And so they have all kinds of means that they do to take you over. And as Richard was explaining earlier, they will even come into your house or into your church, and they will soul travel in and try to plant objects and things in your house. So let's talk about objects and things from witches and wizards and from the idolatry worshipers. Objects are things like statues, talismans, little things that they can give you a Christian book and put a power on it, actually.
Wow.
Be careful where you receive gifts from. There was a witch that was converted under our ministry many, many years ago, and she was a woman that was a gemologist. She would walk down the railroad tracks, and she could pick up stones and know what kind of a gem they were, come home and polish them. So she wrote me a letter, and she said, I've got a great big I think it was a 10-carat amethyst stone, and I want to send it to you. And I said, no, thank you. I don't receive things like that from people. And so then when I got her converted, she came over to the church and we converted her. She told me that she had planned to send that as a point of contact. Now, does that those words make anybody wow. ever heard those words? A point of contact?
Yes.
Okay, where that came from was Oral Roberts University. A point of contact, or they would say, put your hands on the TV as a point of contact. Well, you see, Jesus is everywhere. People don't have to put their hands on you. You don't have to touch people to cast devils out. We just say the word, the name of Jesus, and the devils fly out. And so that was Oral Roberts that used to do that. So the objects, what happens is they will take the objects into their witchcraft ritualisms of blood sacrifice, sexual sacrifices, and what they will do is they will take and dedicate those objects to their gods, and their gods are just demons. And so what happens is that they will take the objects and give them to a person. And what they have done is they have attached a demon onto that object. And when they attach the demon onto the object and you take the article into your house, then you've got a demon in your house. Now, I used to have a prayer wow. meeting in my house. And Christians from all various denominations used to come in there. And I remember one day after the prayer meeting, the Lord said, you forgot to clean the house out, because I used to take authority over all the spirits and command them to leave the house after the prayer meeting. He said, I want to show you something. He took me into my daughter's bedroom. He said, look under the mattress. I looked under the mattress, and there was the feathers. And one of the women in the prayer meeting claimed to be a Catholic, had taken the feathers attached to a spatula metal. That's some kind of religious metal they have, and put it under my daughter's bed.
Wow.
So you've got to be wise. This is a warfare. And not all that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus will say to many of them that you think are big, well-known Christians, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so witchcraft is real, and it's more than Disney World. Rich, you know, during when the first Harry Potter came out, some very big ministries endorsed Harry Potter. Dobson endorsed it. Chuck Colson endorsed it. And several others. And I thought, my goodness, that's weird. So I did some articles. I thought, well, maybe they don't know what it's about. Well, I did some articles that are up on my website on Harry Potter. And then when the Narnia show came out, because of Saddleback Church, Chuck, what's his name, purpose-driven guy, that guy was promoting it, and preachers all over the country filled buses full of children and took them to see the Narnia movie. Well, you see, C.S. Lewis is being sold in all the Christian bookstores around the country as a Christian. And, of course, I've researched him, and C.S. Lewis is not a Christian. C.S. Lewis was brought into the Catholic Church by what's his name? I can see it. I'll get back to it. Tolkien. And they used to sit on the bar stool and drink together. And then they would write these witchcraft stories for children. And so whenever you go to Disney World was evangelizing all the Christian kids in the country through the movie Narnia. When you go to that movie, which I don't recommend it, because you're going to get loaded with devils if you do. But if you go to the movie, the very first thing that you will see is you will see the kids going into this room, and there's a wardrobe there. The kids go through the wardrobe, and it puts them into the fantasy world of witchcraft. And the first being that they meet in that fantasy world is a being called Pan, which is the god Pan, which is the god of Wicca. And so from there on, they meet gods of drugs and alcohol, perverse sex, all kinds of these weird beings like the Wizard of Oz. And so what happens to children when you take them into these things, what happens is you will find that the demons come home with the children, but they've added another dimension to it, to the modern kids. McDonald's, which is a satanic outlet, make these little Happy Meals, and they will take all the beings, the images of Pan and all these little kids, and they give them to children with the Happy Meals, dragons. Yeah. And the little children bring them home into their bedrooms, and what happens, they start having nightmares at night, and the poor little children are tormented, and the parents think that it's normal. And the next thing you know, these demons get such a hold over the children that they have to take them to doctors and psychiatrists, and they put them on psychotropic drugs.
Wow.
And so the truth of the matter is that the devil is striking in every area of our lives. Christians are very, very asleep. The real Christians are being attacked. That's what this is, calling Pat Holiday a Jezebel. It's nothing but a satanic attack to turn people away from the true gospel. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And us, whenever I expose them, I go to the scripture and I very carefully tell you what's wrong with what they've done, what they're saying, and their doctrine. And they just make blank statements of, oh, she's a witch or that. When they cast devils out of women, the first thing they do is go and say, Jezebel, come forth. Now, really, is every Christian woman got a Jezebel in them? Has every woman got a Jezebel in them? Well, you know, I don't think so. But the truth is witchcraft is everywhere. And I got to give a solution after I painted such a horrible picture. You have to get with Jesus. You have to begin to seek Jesus on a daily basis. Turn the television off. Stop reading the cheap novels and magazines and the things that you get at the supermarket. So-and-so did this to so-and-so, the gossip sheets. Turn that stuff off. Get into the Word of God. Play the King James Version of the Word of God over yourself every night. Throw away all those phony Bibles that the Illuminati has printed. Be careful about the books you read. Pray about it before you read them. Ask God to cover you and your family every day with the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus over you every single night before you go to sleep. Ask Jesus to protect you and the Holy Ghost to baptize you with his power. John 14:16 says, and chapter 16 says, the Holy Ghost came to teach you all things and lead you into all truth. And the Amplified version is not nearly an inspired version. Let me tell you something. It was written by a woman that took a thesaurus and just expanded the verses with the thesaurus. She sold it to a group named Lockheed, who were Christians, and before the old man died, way up in his 70s, he repented, but he sold it to another group, Zondervan, I think it was Zondervan Publishing House, and Zondervan Publishing House was bought by the Illuminati, and they owned the rights to the Amplified Bible. Joyce Myers uses it. Most of your Word of Faith people use it. And if you don't throw away those ridiculous, false Bibles, you will not know what the Word of God says, because they've removed all of the references to the deity of Jesus, his blood sacrifice, salvation, the things that you need to know. Throw them in the garbage. Go find an old King James Version. And always remember that the Hebrew Bible that they're selling as the New Testament never existed. The Hebrew Bible is the Old Testament. The New Testament was written in the Greek, because that was the language of the day. It was so until the Catholic Church took over, Constantinople took over, and then things began to change. Get you a King James Version Bible is taken out closely from the Greek translation. And it's worked for me. I have seen thousands and thousands of miracles around the world using the name of Jesus and the King James Version of the Bible. And you might like it better, but if it's not the Bible, so you like it, it's not going to do you any good. Does that make sense to you?
Amen. I mean, the NIV Bible I'm not fond of. I think the Amplified Version really came from that.
Well, you know, Rich, the NIV Bible is known as the homosexual Bible, and it's
right.
Known that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Catholic nun that translated the Hebrew from the very first one that they put out. It's a Bible that was put together by all the denominational churches, Catholics and Protestants. And she used to go on the Phil Donahue shows and the talk shows of that day, and she would say that she was a homosexual or a lesbian, and there's nothing in the Bible against it. And, of course, in her Bible, there was nothing against it. And then recently, a couple of years ago, they rewrote it, and this time they took out all the gender references. In other words, there's no he's and she's, and
wow.
God can be a he or a she. So throw those things away. Don't let the devil trick you. He took these things out of the church without a fight. And so, therefore, now, after 20 years of reading Illuminati Bibles, what we have is a backslidden church with blinded pastors that took this stuff up. I was in New York, in Washington, D.C., when the new King James Version came out, Rich. And I was at a booksellers convention, and there were leaders from all over the United States. There are thousands of them. And they brought that book in. I believe it was Thompson Nelson, who has also bought the Christian book. They bought all of our printing presses and all of our Christian bookstores, radio stations, and television stations. But anyway, Nelson brought the Bible in, and right on the front of the Bible, the New King James,
Trinitarian
was,
Spirit, the
Trinitarian Spirit 666. And there was a woman up there named Constance Cumby, and she was doing a phenomenal work at that time and is still around. You can find her up on the internet, Constance Cumby. And she was exposing the New World, New Age movement. And then Ironside, please, or Iron Show, please. You just don't know what you're talking about, okay? And so, anyway, she was exposing the New Age, and she knew what that symbol was. And they gave those Bibles to all the people at that conference free. And she was going around telling, and she told me, she said, this is the Trinitarian symbol of 666. And they claimed back then that all they had done was just take the references of thee and thou and those out. But actually, later on when I think her name's Gail Kippenscher or something like that. She took verse by verse and lined it up, and they took the deity of Jesus and a lot of things out. So if you want to get to heaven, throw away the devil's junk and get you a King James Version. Get on your knees every day. Seek Jesus with your whole heart and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins. Ask him to show you if you're in an era, if you're under one of these New World Order churches or one of these New Age churches, or if you're under one of these churches that are being run by wizards and wizards and
right.
witches, because sometimes churches are just totally run by wizard and witches. And so you're safe in the arms of Jesus, and Jesus is a spirit. Rippinger, thank you. Jesus is a spirit, and Jesus is everywhere. And his job is to extend salvation to every single person that wants salvation. And if you've never asked him to save you, you can do it now. I'm sure Brother Rich will lead you in a sinner's prayer. Because the only way you can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus and accepting his blood sacrifice. And it's that easy. And then you don't have to do anything else except live for him every day, study his word for your strength, give up your sin life, be holy, be sanctified, and the Holy Ghost will sanctify you. Rich?
Amen. That's right. Preach it. We are broadcasting on WWCR tonight, and a lot of our listeners don't have the internet, Pat. So if they want to get a hold of you for any other reason, for maybe even go to your church, is there a number or any other way to get a hold of you?
Yes, they can call me at 904-733-8318. And they can mail me at 9252 San Jose Boulevard, number 2804, Jacksonville, Florida, 32257. And if somebody will put that up on the board for me, I'd appreciate it. And also, our church is in Jacksonville, and it's called Miracle Outreach Church, and it's in Arlington. And like I said, we're having people to come in from all over the world, and we just appreciate the body of Christ. And I want to admonish your people to pray for us and you and your wife every day.
Amen.
Because we're at the top of the spear. Coming against this OSAS, they're a worldwide ministry, friends, and they have people praying from all over the world against us by now. But let me just challenge them in this. The third wave was all over the world, too. and I'm the one that started the movement. And they've tried to kill me now for 5 or 6 years, and I'm still here talking. You cannot kill me. You cannot stop me because I have the protection of Jesus Christ on me and the blood. You can challenge me. I welcome the war. I am a fighter. But I'm going to tell you, count the cost when you do so. Because I'm not one of these to get up here and say, all the witches and all the warlocks come, we're going to attack you. Let me tell you, I'm not a foolish person. I don't go into any warfare unless I have to. But if you come against me, expect that it will come back to you. I'm not afraid of you. I know who you are. I know who I am. And I'm a child of God, covered by the blood of the Lamb and the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost. And I have all of Jesus' battering rams all around me. And he's my battle axe. So count the cost. If you want to come, I'd feel very sorry for you. Wow. Rich, can you tell, lead them in a sinner's prayer before we get off the air?
Yeah, let's do that. Anybody out there, we just praise the Lord and lift your hand right now. If you going to lead you in just simple prayer, and all it just basically does is life and death in the power of your tongue. With a few minutes left, we're just going to do that. And it's just a good prayer to do. Repeat after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord,
and my Savior. And my Savior.
And dear Heavenly Father.
And dear Heavenly Father.
I ask his precious blood. Wash me of all my sins, known or unknown. And I ask, Holy Father, for the free gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell within me, to lead me, teach me, and guide me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give my life to you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. So I appreciate that compliment. But I want to tell everybody to tell your friends on Facebook and on your email about the show. A lot of people have lost me since I got off the other blog radio, but they'll find me again if you let them know where I am, and we'll see you again real soon. I will. Go ahead.
That's right, and this broadcast specifically was aimed at uncovering this ludicrous teaching of turning women into Little House in the Prairie bonnet people that sit on the pew and you wind them up to go cook in the kitchen. That type doctrine, the Taliban Christianity, and the bewitchments of false doctrine in the church. Because where you see these twisted doctrines, where you see OSIS, once saved, always saved, one of the most, and someone sent me a scripture earlier in Genesis 3, where the serpent said, surely it will not kill you. Okay, this one said, the devil was a preacher of OSIS in Genesis 3. I never saw it. It's right there. Surely you won't die.
Yeah.
See, the devil was the original OSIS minister. And these OSIS ministers today have taken that whole surely you won't die message and said, hey, you're signed, sealed, and delivered, and nothing can separate you from, no man can separate you from God. Well, the devil's no man. He's a created being. His demons are demonic powers and entities. I don't know. They're not men. Okay, they're there to tempt you and lead you and open you up to a demonic gateway that can snatch you and destroy your walk. The walk is narrow and it's straight. Stay focused and your mindset on Christ, and definitely work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That word fear there, phobos. There needs to be a fear of the Lord. Without a fear of the Lord, people are just running rabid. That's why Abraham said, I discern there's no fear of God in this camp. That's why he wound up using a little bit of masquerading at that point, because when there's no fear of the Lord, people are just running rabid. That's why these homosexual doctrines are so manifesting so terribly in that show that's on next week, Pray the Gay Away. So
yes, and you've got a man of God coming on next week, don't you?
Pastor Carl Hennison from the Preaching in the Philippines, he's going to be on. It's going to be a powerful show. And, Pat, thank you for joining us. And we're getting ready to sign off. So watch your radio.
90 seconds.
Oh, my God, there's that British thing. Sorry about that.
I'll be back.
Got that British. That's in the Blog Talk patch, and we're simulcasting on there. All right, praise God, people. Saying farewell, Pat, saying farewell. We'll see you next week, people.
Thank you.
Praise God.
See you on Facebook.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise God. See you next week. Watch your radio.
60 seconds.
Two more chances, you won't be denied. When my heart is where it's always been, my head is somewhere in between. Give me one more chance, let me be a lover tonight. You're
the real queen. 10 seconds.